The following was recorded on Saturday, March the 7th, 2015, for the Prayer Warrior Network. This is Sandy Chaychuk from the Brampton Prayer Group sharing about her outreach ministry. Sandy Chaychuk is from Brampton, and I connected through Sandy, I think through, probably through Brad. You mentioned something's happening in Brampton, and Sandy and I connected, so she's on the prayer list. I think almost all of you are on our prayer network list. So we've asked Sandy to come and talk about Brampton, and she got all sorts of different resources here, and thanks so much for coming today.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me. This is my busiest time of the year because this is the time we have our biggest outreach every year. We're doing the same as Solomon, is going door to door, bringing the Jesus film on DVD to every home in Brampton. And I'll back up in a moment and say how I got into this as well, and how the Lord brought this about. Never something I thought I'd be doing or planned to do. And Solomon is a huge support. He's the resource, and he's the leader in all this. So we're doing the same thing. There's just a little differences in what we do, the way we do it, than they do, but it's almost exactly the same. We have a little different flyers and things. This is the map of what we've done so far in Brampton. The section down here at the bottom, just south of Steeles, is Solomon, Mrs. Saga Prayer Group had did that before we started. And then when we started at that corner and started moving upwards. So it's going slow, but it's happening a lot slower than I thought. We started out going every second week, every other week, just pattern after Mrs. Saga Prayer Group. And then at the end of the first year, I think it was June, I saw responses where it seemed to be less in June, and so I did not continue. So I don't do exactly, I'm not as, I don't know what the word is, I won't say that, but I did not continue through summer. So I know Solomon goes year-round. I discontinue in the summer, and so every year we start up again in October, and after a couple of years, we tried to switch to once a month instead of once every 2 weeks. Some volunteers were saying it's too much, and trying to consider how much people are committed to their own churches and say, okay, if we could do double the amount once a month instead of lesser amount twice a month, maybe that'll work for people. But they don't quite do double, but anyway. So we are going now monthly. We start October every year, and we go right through to May. I end in May, and then we take the summer break. And a couple of reasons for me. One, I feel like there's less response in the summer, and people don't sit indoors and watch a movie so much in the summer as they do in the winter. And I work, and I was working full-time, and I was working like 10 hours a day plus travel, and I was just running on no sleep trying to do this behind. A big difference between Solomon and I is I'm really, really detail-minded. And he's go out there, get the job done, and, you know, you've seen the difference, Brad, when you come to mine or Solomon's. My maps are so detailed. I get onto Google Maps. I count homes to find out exactly how many's there. But I'm mainly doing that because I don't have these unlimited resources that my brother has, Solomon. And so I'm thinking, okay, I only got 850 DVDs I can afford this month. So, you know, I want to get all of them out, everyone. So I'm counting to make sure I pick an area, everything's going out. And so maybe I'm overly so that way, but that is the way God wired me. But part of that is me saying not one home will be missed, and I want to track it. I go back. I mean, those reports, they have to sign how many DVDs they got back. They have to bring them, right, Brad? They got to bring them back to me, everything that's left over. They return the bags because it cost me to buy new bags. And on the maps, it says how many they got, how many is returned. And they have to write on the map any homes that were missed. And I keep that all on paper so I can go back. And we go back to those homes that were missed. Even if they're refused, we go back to them again. There's more than one person in most home usually. So I just feel such a strong calling that it must go to. That's what I heard clearly from the Lord. And I'll go back to that story and how that was, that we are to bring the word to every single home in Brampton. So if that's what I heard God say, I'm just going to be the most diligent I can to make sure every single home gets it. And like Solomon said, the opening of doors, I found apartment buildings were hard. And as I was pulling together people from different churches, I think one of the questions was, how do you get volunteers? Well, Solomon, I don't know. I'm glad you shared. I've got to get more on my knees, more time, because I don't get as many volunteers as Solomon does. I mean, we get maybe, during seasons, I noticed it picks up at Easter or at Christmas. I noticed the first year patterns that were developing. More people showed up near Easter. It's like, they're all thinking about it now. At Christmas, more people wanted to participate. And so now what I start to do is, after the first year, I started planning around that. Say, okay, this is what they like to do. I'm going to do a big push at Easter. I'm going to do a big push at Christmas. And then someone in our group had recommended that one of our volunteers had said, you know, Sandy, just pick a date and have a big one. Just, and he kept saying this, and I'm like, no, we have to do it every month or whatever. Just pick a date. You know, and I thought, okay, finally that came back to me, and I thought, okay, I'm going to pick a date and have one big whammy, but we still go monthly. I won't give up the monthly, or at that time it was biweekly. And so that was, we started in October 2011, so that was kind of the end. No, we went through a whole season there. I saw Christmas picked up a little bit. I saw Easter 2012 picked up a little. So when it got around to 2013, that's when I planned my first big Easter outreach. And so I call it a pre-Easter outreach. And so we go the first, the one Saturday before Easter. So 1 week, which would be 8 days before Easter. But what I do at that time is I, for months, so starting from January, right after Christmas and right through, I start emailing and calling every church, every pastor. And the first year was a huge amount of work because I had to do so much research to find these churches. There's so many tiny churches in Brampton that it's a new developing city. So it's, they're all in these little office buildings and all over the place. And I have to back up the story to how it got started. But in the beginning, I was invited to the Brampton Ministerial, and it was just a sovereign divine appointment. I never thought of doing it that way. I had went to, it was just before I got started distributing, and I had the vision, and I'm going backwards. I'm going to go back and tell you how I got the vision after. But so as I, we there was a meeting at our church. Once per month, the city has a day to pray on Pentecost Sunday, that all the churches of the Brampton Ministerial will come together to pray for the city. And at that was the day that I just picked up my first batch of DVDs from Solomon. It was my first seed that I sowed into it, and I was all excited. And the first time I went to Solomon's house and saw what he had there, I was jumping. I was pogo sticking right in the middle of his storage area where he had all these things. I couldn't believe all the supplies that were there because I was already filled with his vision at that time and so excited. And he had everything that I needed for this, and God sovereignly connected us as well. I'll get back to that story. But at this meeting, on Pentecost Sunday, when all the ministerial was gathered at my church, I had just got those DVDs and they were in my trunk. And when I picked them up from Solomon, he says, well, give one to everybody there. You know, like, because I was like, how am I going to get the word out to Brampton and all this? And I'm like, no, these are for the lost. I'm not going to give it to the Christians. And I got there and that little bug kept going in my ear. And I thought, well, maybe it would get them to spread the, you know, to know about it. And so I immediately ran to I wanted to catch my pastor to ask him, well, the meeting's starting 2 minutes after I get there. All the ministerial members were downstairs meeting. And they were, the pastors and all, arranging and just having their little gathering to go over how this meeting's going to run, because they're all taking different parts in it and leading different parts of the prayer. And somebody said, go down there. I said, I can't go down there. You know, it's like, it's just all the pastors of the city meeting. I'm not welcome there. And they kept saying, go, go. And I'm like, I can't. And so finally I started to walk down the stairs hesitantly, and my pastor starts coming up. And I said, oh, Pastor Jamie, I've got these DVDs. And I just started explaining what I wanted to do. And right away, he marched me straight into the sanctuary to the front seat where the executive of the ministerial was sitting. And he says, oh, Sandy's got this. She wants to give it out after. And she's going to be at this desk after to hand these out. And so it gave me just a little bit of opportunity to express it. But I did not know what God had in mind. At the end, I'm closing up and packing up everything. And I'm leaving, and everybody's going, and I'm thinking, I didn't think the word got out very well, and, you know, I didn't have printed things to give, so no way for them to get back in touch with me, and I'm thinking, what came of this? And there was one man standing there as I'm walking out, and he says, did you get one? And he was one of the pastors, and he said, no, and he started asking me questions about it, and I gave him one, and asked me to explain the vision, and I'm talking about, you know, all the churches coming together and doing this, and this, and he says, send me information and tell me what you need, because I'm the executive of the ministerial, and I had no idea. And God is sovereignly connecting me with them, and I did not know that the Lord wanted me to do this by pulling his body together from the churches. I just had a vision, and I was ready to go do it. I would have done it by myself. I didn't know that would have been hard. I wasn't thinking in those terms. I didn't have a concern about money either at the time. I had no doubt God called it. That was it. And concerning money, I didn't have any concern about money the whole first year. I kept calling people to come. I booked every meeting. So you get a message from God, you get a call from God, you move, you go. I didn't get concerned at all. I will confess, second year I got concerned. And so Solomon had to give me some talks. And I'm still hearing. He's behind me all the time and praying, and I appreciate him so much. And all of you now praying, I appreciate it so much. I had some discouragement in 2013, and I, you know, that happens in ministry. And he's been around the tree a few more times than I have, so he helps me out, encourages me. But this, I had no idea. God wanted to bring the whole churches in. And so that's what is, I think, a little different between our outreach and what's happened in Mississauga, is because the Lord is sovereignly connecting me with the ministerial. I did not seek that out. I had no idea who the man was. He says, send me the vision. Well, so, and then I was invited to come and share there. And I was invited twice. And now I can freely come whenever I like as well to the ministerial. And at first, I didn't take advantage of that. I kind of thought, you know, well, I'm not anybody. And, you know, I was really thinking low of myself and thought I don't belong there. But I do go now freely to the ministerial whenever I can. But the interesting thing is, out of that, when I finally gave the presentation, no one really came on board except for one pastor. So, the ones who did were basically the ones who showed interest were those who were of different nations. I was grieved about that, where we were at, and that we did not have this heart for the nations who are right here in our midst. That it was still a divine appointment, and I knew it was God, and so I had won. And I wanted to, as soon as I got a word from them, even over the summer before I met with them, they said they weren't ready to go forward. And they said, oh, this would take an operation the size of the Billy Graham Association to pull it off. This is the exact words I got from them. And I was quite discouraged. At that time, I'm like, that's too bad. I don't need them. I'll just go without them. And God pulled my reins. Oh, he pulled my reins back. I knew I couldn't. I had to wait. And I did. I thought, I don't care. You know, I'm going. But I knew God was pulling back. So I it was hard waiting. It was that, I think this is what has made it hard for me in Brampton, is because I know God has called me to call them, and they're not moving, not fast enough. But there's a lot of movement. There is. And I just have to be slow. I mean, I have to be patient as God is, because it's coming slow. And it's just pulled me, because when you have such a passion, it's like, God, why do you put such a fire I've never had so strong in my heart, to bring the gospel to everyone, and then go like this? I'm like, that's, how do I hold back? You know, I was going to explode. It was difficult to wait. So I had to wait. And I guess I'm learning a lot of things. I'm growing in that kind of character, and learning to be patient and wait, and wait on God's people, and to trust God to do the work, and know that it may not be as instant as I thought. I thought we would have this done in 3 months, and we are now over 3 years, and we are about right at almost 50% of Brampton. It's growing almost as fast as we're going. So it's going very fast. So we're at about 75,000. I say about because I don't know the exact number that Solomon covered before. So what we covered is over 65,000. I have that printed too. No, we're at 70, actually. We're at 70, what we've done so far. A little bit over that now, 70,000. Brampton itself, if you look at the statistics, the last census was 2011, so it's grown since then. So I contact the city every year to find out what's the increase now. And so we're at about 165,000 homes in Brampton. Brampton is approaching, was it 625,000 people?
Wow.
So we are over 500,000, and it's actually, I wish I had all the statistics. I had I had something to put up here, a PowerPoint, and so I'm going to go from my memory now. Ninth largest city in Canada. It was the third largest in the GTA. It's Brampton, Toronto, Mississauga, and Brampton, I think.
And Little India.
Yes. And the greatest, the largest people group in Brampton, in Brampton, is from India. Mm-hmm. The second largest is Canadian. The 30% of the people in Brampton, over 30%, their first language, I'm sorry, that's over 40%, their first language is a language other than English. Mm-hmm. So, And that's the message I'm trying to get across to churches and to the pastors, is that because one of the I get objections, I hear a lot of feedback, which always grieves my spirit because I know the call, you know, and I'll hear things like, well, everybody speaks English in Brampton, though. It's like, we don't need this DVD, you know, and I'm a school bus driver. That's my job. That's what I was doing before when I was called into this. And I train school bus drivers. And I know when you try to teach someone, it's way different. Learning. You must learn in your native language. You learn much better in your home language. And so even though they do speak and seem to speak very fluently, when I'm talking to them, when I'm starting to teach them, they can't catch it. There's so many expressions we use. They miss it. They don't get it. The teaching has to be done in their own language. It's very important. So that was one of the responses I got from objections from, I guess, the naysayers.
The DVD's in many different languages.
Yes, the DVD. Okay, the DVD. Yes, and for those who don't know, the DVD is the Jesus film that's been around for, 40 years now? It's over 30. I think it might be 40. 30. And how many?
32.
Okay. So so many of you have probably seen it on VHS way back when. And then they put it on DVD.
With some addition.
Exactly. And that makes it a thorough presentation. So the Jesus film that we also, years ago, is a Jesus movie from birth to death and resurrection, the whole life of Jesus. What they've added now is the introduction, a little blurb about creation, a little blurb about Abraham offering Isaac on the altar, a little bit about the prophets prophesying the coming Messiah, and then the story of Jesus. He's here in his whole life from birth to death, and then the narrator comes back on, recaps creation, prophets, Jesus, death, burial, resurrection, gives an invitation with prayer, and leads them through the prayer in their language. There's nothing more powerful. This is a thorough, I've never seen a more thorough, and many people will say that online. If you go to JesusFilm.org, you can see all the different languages, you can see, read up on the statistics on the Jesus film. It is amazingly effective.
The last statistics we have on this is 4.6 billion people have seen it, and over 200 million have made commitment for the Lord.
Wow. That's right. And back to trying to call the churches together. First year I had to do amazing research. So it's amazing. It's no wonder that some of these churches are so small, because I had to be a detective to find them. You know, it was really hard. But so what I do every year, and what I'm extremely busy with right now, is I prepare a letter, and I have sample letters if you want to see what I send out and how I do this. This is a sample letter I sent out this year. You can pass it around if you want. That I send out to every pastor. And the first year, I'm trying to get all these packages and their addresses to mail it and get all the postage money and all this stuff. And I'm getting so behind the eight ball, and I wasn't getting it out soon enough. And Easter was early that year, and it was 2013, the first time I tried to call every church together and get a big one, have the big date. And so I got desperate and just sent it out as attachment an email to about five pastors before I went to work one day, coming home the next day, hoping to go personally get to churches, but I could not personally make visits. I was working from, I left home at 6 something in the morning. I was getting home at 6 in the evening. I had no time, you know, and my kids, responsibilities at home. They're older, but still. I couldn't, so I'm doing this day and night, day and night. So what I do, I found out what happened is I got 5 responses, or like 4, really fast from those 6 emails I sent. And I thought, oh, wow, this really works. So I continued, and it kept working. So it was only the big churches I went and delivered by hand with a sample DVD, but I just put it in the package. We'll give you a sample, you know, if you like one. And now I also put the JesusFilm.org site so they can go view it. So, so we do it by email. But I'm the one who's doing it all. I don't have an administrator. I don't have someone to do this for me. So as far as prayer, pray for help. People who are just crazy detail-minded that can do the stuff that I try to get other people to do the home counting. And it's way off every time, way off. You actually have to be a detective to see it on Google and detect the difference between your duplex and your regular one. But the purpose in doing that is so that I can track it. When I sent the person out with a map and there's 200 homes and I divided up 200 homes in their area, they come back and they have too many DVDs left over. And I say, wait a second, something's wrong here. And then I go back and I check. And I'll find an area that they've missed, or I'll go, oh, I missed some duplexes. So I will find it if they've missed it. So that's why I'm just so ridiculous with the details on that. So what I do at this time of year is sending those emails, but then I follow up. I have records of every single church. I have a separate file in the computer, and I go in and I learned this when I have my own business. So I guess God was preparing me. So every time I make a call and I talk to them or sent an email, I log it. So under this church, it's sent email on this day, got reply on this day. This call, I spoke to so-and-so, this is what they said, call back on this day. So it's a lot of work, so it's administratively, to pull off this big one and to get all the churches involved. So this year we have 16 churches who have agreed, but the total amount they've agreed to is about 9,000. I'm still saying 10. That's what I did last year. I just won't settle for less than 10. Anyway, the first year we did the big outreach, we did 25,000 that year.
I was going to say that you got to get to the punchline.
Yeah.
I was there at that 2013 district.
Were you at that one?
We had hundreds of people met at that church downtown.
Yes.
There were hundreds of people, and they did 25,000 that day. It was incredible.
Oh, they didn't get them all out that day. We had them available.
I talk about volunteers.
Yes. We had a shortage of volunteers that year.
It was great.
Yes.
And
we actually had more people last year. Did you come last year?
No.
We had more people, but less DVDs.
I'm planning to be there this year. That's your next punchline. Yes, it's happening again.
So last year, March 28th, we're doing it this year, the big one. But we still go every month, and that's still happening as well. But the big one, and we do a little bigger at Christmas, but I don't do all the email same pull. I don't have as much time to put into it. I can only do that much once a year. So where was I going with that? I forgot now. So the 2013, one particular church actually put in 15,000, and the Lord blessed them. And all the others, the biggest we've had from one church is 2,000. And there's a lot of little churches do 100, 150, 300. And I have a hard time not really grieving. I did grieve over it because they put in a lot less than I can do it as one person. And it's the church. I know they're small churches, but still, you know, so but I have to let it go. And that's the thing I'm learning to try to let that go.
Sandy, with 75,000, you've already got it. Stop grieving.
I expected it 3 months, and it's 3 years. Sorry? Yes.
Great.
I know. And I'm very excited this year because we've gone all the way up to this is Beauvais line. So we're up to Beauvais. That's highway number 5, for those who don't know. And so everything north of there is newer areas of the city. Everything west of Mississauga Road is newer, or even west of Chincoosie. And everything on the east side as well, Airport Road over that way, east of Torbom, is all newer developments in the recent 10 years. So it's mostly, those areas are mostly the nations. The nations are all over Brampton, but I really felt that I started where we're supposed to. I've gotten confirmation. Is my time up? Okay. I've gotten confirmation so many times from the Lord, and it's just so good when you get that. But I knew. I already knew, but I like confirmation that I'm going the right path. You know, I'm following the steps right. But when you go to an area and then one day, all your regular volunteers, which I often maybe have 6 to 8. I've had only 3 at one distribution. Around 6 to 8 is my average, really. And then, you know, sometimes 12. And then a little bigger ones, maybe 20. But not so often do I have that many, except for Easter or Christmas. So, I'm sorry, I'm losing my train of thought. What was it?
Going to the nations. How do you know what language of DVD to hang on the door?
Well, see, the DVD itself has 16 different languages on it.
Okay.
Now,
and then the people just choose.
Right. And so when you put the DVD in the player, and actually there's instructions. I'll show you. I also have different flyers that we made up that we use for distributing. So this is just a general one, free DVD. This is also a general one that I'm using most recently because I find less is best, less is more, that expression. And this is very simple, and I've added into it now instructions because some of the people call me back and says, the CD is not working. It's not a CDD. CD, it's a DVD. I know, but it's not working. And it took a while to get them to understand it's a movie. So I learned to use the word movie so they know it plays on the TV because they get confused between CD, DVD, especially older people. And anyway, you can pass these around so you can just see different samples.
That DVD is catered strictly for Ontario. The languages
yes.
that are spoken in Ontario
you can pass
are on
them
the
too.
Different people groups.
Oops, I'm sorry.
That's a master I made up for to reach.
Yes. Now, for Easter, we made one. So one of the churches that came out distributed with this, I allow the churches also to add a little flyer. I say little. Keep it small, because if people see a bag of flyers, if you ever consider doing such a thing, you make sure they see a DVD. A bag of flyers, people toss.
Yes.
A lot of people will. So, and we try not to stick it. We have instructions, and you can see my instructions for delivery. I'm sure you're not interested in, I don't know if you're interested in seeing that, but I'll pass it around. And the other side is how to prepare for the distribution. But when they deliver, I tell them, don't stuff it in the mailbox with other flyers. If you can, hang it on the door so that they see a DVD. They know it's not just a flyer. Put the movie facing out, or somehow that they know that there's a DVD in here. It's not just a bag of flyers. So the other churches that do add the flyers, I tell them to keep it small. One of the ones that came the first year, they actually had a little tiny business card size. And it was perfect. And it had this picture. And I asked them, can I use that? Because it was so beautiful, and I thought it was so simple. And on their little card, it says, just a simple way to say God loves you, and so do we. And I just loved it, and I thought it was very nice for Easter, the flowers and everything. And I thought it was, so that's what we use. You can see what's on the back of the flyers as well, if you want. And I'll pass it around. This is on my new back, you can see. I have 10,000 left still, and I'm only doing 10,000, I think. Well, Lord willing, maybe we'll do more this year. Keep praying for that, please. And
I ordered 26,000 DVDs.
Yes.
We would like to get 26,000 out in the home. So
in Brampton.
In Brampton, Toronto, and wherever else we can.
So I will have extra volunteers. Solomon, if you want to send extra volunteers over, I mean, if you want to send extra DVDs, I know I'm having extra volunteers. Mm-hmm. Last year, I had so many extra volunteers, and they were disappointed. They went home with nothing to do. And a lot of volunteers only got to put 20 out because we did not have enough DVDs. So if anyone feels to contribute towards that, I know. He says he doesn't ask for money. I'm like, yes, I'll take it.
How can you donate to the dollar?
Now, I include that in my emails, but it's hard to explain this way. Through the Dwelling website, there's a ministry, 24/7 Worship, The Dwelling in Mississauga. So if you Google 24/7 Worship dash 24-7, there's a lot of those all over the U.S. So 24-7 Worship, if you add the words The Dwelling, you'll get the correct one. On their donation section, you can actually donate online, and there's a drop-down menu. It'll say Brampton DVD Distribution. If you don't see that, then you know you're not on the right page. But yes, if anyone wants to contribute towards that, it will go there, and you will get a receipt as well, a tax receipt. So they've been gracious to do that for us. And but initially, I thought right away, when the Lord gave me the vision, I tried to run to my pastor to talk to him. And the Lord kept blocking that door again and again and again and again. Before I got the vision, any time I went to talk to my pastor, he was like right there. In passing, he would stop. Because I was a part of a group that were always praying for the church. And he wanted to know what the Lord's saying recently. And he was always ready to talk. And all of a sudden, when I got the vision, and he didn't even know why I went to talk to him, it's like both pastors, the executive pastor and the lead pastor, just passing note for 3 months, could not get one word with them. And I could have felt rejected, but I knew, this is you, isn't it? You're blocking this for a reason. And then when all this thing developed for the ministerial, I understood. God was saying, it's not to be my church's ministry. It is a city ministry. So it is a city ministry. And that's when I understood it, because I would have tried to position it and get the church involved in, and the church would have controlled it. And this is what God wants. He wanted a city ministry. And if it goes under a big name of a big church, then all the little guys might not come in. And I felt so much God's heart desiring that every person in Brampton, all the believers in Brampton, would care for the lost in Brampton. And he wanted the word to go out to every church, the small churches, every church, and that and that call to go out and that message to go out to care about the lost in our city, especially the nations that are in our city. So that's what I really feel in my spirit. And I think that's why I've grieved a lot, because I so strongly sense God's heart and call and his longing that we would care for the nations that are in our midst. There's so many in Brampton. I didn't go a lot into the statistics, but the majority is Punjabi, from Punjab in Brampton. And so the majority religion is Sikh and Hindu, mostly Hindu, then Sikh, and then Muslim is 7% in Brampton. But we have the nations there. If I have a moment, I would give, do I have a moment or not?
Sure.
I will give the brief thing of how did I get this vision? So backing up again, all the way to the beginning. That prayer group I was telling you about, we're meeting every Friday night for all-night prayer. And the vision was to just pray for revival for our church and to pray for but it's not come with our agenda. It was come and say, Lord, give us your heart. Change us. Help us to know what it is that's on your heart. And so it was, we say prayer meeting, but it was majority worship. And then it was time waiting upon him while the worship music is going and listening and going to scriptures as he led I really had to discipline people to learn not to pray too soon. Wait until we hear from God. Wait until he speaks. And then in the beginning I said, no, we're not praying until 5 a.m. And we would wait. 4 was the limit. You know, you could not even... I let it go afterwards, after we got the concept of we're not coming in with our thought or even what God spoke to me yesterday. What do you want to say to us? And we would pray. So it was that thing of praying, listening, seeking. And so we did this for a year and a half. And it was, and one thing, at the very end, the Lord started shifting it. And it was a shift that it was time to go. There was this go. It's time to move on. And I was praying for the longest time, the Lord, wait. The church isn't ready yet, you know. And I thought it was all about our church. Not I didn't really think it was about our church, but we were there to pray for revival in our church so that we could reach the city, so that the nations would be reached. It was always with the whole world in mind. But the Lord started shifting things right at the end, and there just became this strong emphasis. It was just approaching Pentecost, a strong emphasis on all of that that's revolving around Pentecost, the receiving of the Spirit for the purpose of going to the nations. And at that time, around that time, the Lord started speaking to me, and I was praying at other times, just a general prayer for the city. Out of my mouth would fall the words, praying to bring the gospel, to bring the word to every home in Brampton. And I would note that I didn't plan on saying that, those exact words. And then another time prayer, same thing happened. Third time, you know, weeks later, same thing's happening. And so the third time, I'm like, I just took note, okay, obviously God is prompting this. This is what he wants. And so I'm just going to press in for that. And so then I started to press in for that with excitement, believing, knowing God is prompting this, so he will do it. This is his will. If you ask anything in his will, it will be done. So I started praying fervently, daily, and just committing myself to prayer the time that I had. I didn't even have a huge amount of time, but it was fervent prayer that the word would be brought to every home in Brampton, to the point that I brought my map and I'd go in the sanctuary of my church and I'd lay on top of the map, and I was starting to the point of, Lord, give me Brampton. And I had no idea what he was up to. And in that year, in that time previous, the Lord kept leading me to scriptures too about do not despise the day of small beginnings and all kinds of things. He had led me to two fasts in that year. And I had not, I mean, I fasted a little bit here and there, but I had not done a lot of extensive fasts. There were two extensive fasts that year that led me into. One was a 21-day, and then not too long after was a 40-day, which I was kind of... I was looking third world, so I knew that I that one had to be a Daniel fast because I had to take care of my health too. But the interesting thing was I knew they were ordained by God, and even he knows my striving, that I'm like, you battle for a little bit before you agree, okay, I'll do this, because that's kind of an extended thing. I don't, you know, your flesh doesn't want to agree to such a long fast. But interestingly, even though I grappled and I struggled, and then I finally started it, and I did it. Each one of them ended right on a Jewish feast day, and everything God was speaking to me in the time was all related to the meaning of that feast day, but I didn't know it till I went to the Dwelling 24/7 Worship, which is led by a Jewish Levite, and he tells what this feast day is all about, and I realized everything he's saying is everything God's been speaking to me, and it was preparation for what I was being called into. And I didn't know that he was preparing me to lead a ministry. I had no clue. So here, I get all this, and after all this prayer, give me Brampton. And then things started happening. A lady from my Bible study group hands me a DVD. Well, believe it or not, I'd never seen this DVD before, and I didn't know it was the same as Jesus' film I'd seen years ago. And she's pushing it on me. And I used to go with her, help her pray for her Pakistani neighbors and stuff like that. And we do evangelism together. But I didn't. And I knew she'd like to hand these out, but I knew nothing about it. Now I'm over, right? I'm over time? Okay. So this, she pushed them on me. And I kept saying, no, you keep it. And I said, oh, finally, I took it home. So I'm sitting at home and I'm praying, but Lord, you're asking us to bring the word to every home. Which Bible version should we bring? Like, what language? Because I know it was about the nations. What language Bible do I bring, like you ask? What language do I bring to the door? How will I know who's behind that door? And I was trying to figure that out because I was still thinking we're bringing Bibles. And at the same time I'm praying this and sitting on my sofa, I put the DVD in the player and I sat back down on the sofa and I'm still praying. And I look up and it says, choose your language. Right when I'm saying, Lord, how do we know which language? And I look and I say, wow, Lord, that's really good. Lord, is that what you want to use? Is that what you want to do? And then I started, should have shared this part first because it was so exciting. And then I'm started picturing and envisioning like how we could bring this like a gift and we could hang it on the door and we could put it in a bag. And I pictured a pink plastic bag. It wasn't the clear ones at the time. And I'm a girl with pink. So I pictured this like a gift, and I thought, like a gift, and like just a brief message of blessing. You know, it's just like a warm blessing. And so I'm picturing all this and how we could do this. And I'm like, Lord, is this what you want to do? And immediately my husband walks in the door. He walks straight to me. Sandy, look at this. Same DVD in his hand. He'd never seen it before in his life. Same moment I'm asking. Same DVD, except his DVD has a sticker on the back. It says Mississauga Prayer Group. But the ones I had didn't have that sticker. So I didn't know Solomon then. So when I got the vision to do this, I did not know Solomon. I did not know Solomon was doing this. God gave me the exact same vision and then connected me with Solomon. So he first gave it to me very specific, and so I have no doubt what he's called. And then I know he lined me up to learn from Solomon. And the cousin that my husband got that DVD, because I said, where did you get it? He got it from his cousin. He's a non-believer. I said, well, how did he get that? What's he doing with it? I wonder if somebody's doing what I was just thinking. So then I called Solomon, eventually got back to me, and I found out that they're doing the same thing. There's another little piece that is so cool, because about a year or two, I wish I could find the email, Solomon, about a year or two before that, I received an email from the dwelling, the 24/7 worship dwelling that I'm a part of, that was saying this, you know, this is, it was forwarding something from Solomon, but he didn't actually forward his email address. So there's these people in Mississauga going door to door, and they're getting so much response, great results. And I had, not knowing who this was, had emailed back to the dwelling and said, can you tell them? Can you ask them if they're coming to Brampton? Because if they come to Brampton, I have to know. And he asked him, and then Solomon said yes. And so then the middleman, the dwelling, emails me back, yes, they'll eventually be in Brampton. So I emailed back to the dwelling, says, can you please tell them when they get to Brampton, I have to know, because I have to learn from them. And so that's the last I ever heard, though. He didn't let me know, I want you to know. You're not the detail man. He's not the detail man, but see, God takes care of his detail, right? Because what happened was then later, God gives me this vision. And then when I finally get connected through that DVD back to Solomon, it was about a week or two later, I realized, that's the guy. That was those emails. And I realized, God heard my words. God hears what you say. He will do it. He will do it. He will do it. Watch what you say and mean what you say, because God hears the words. And he brought it. He brought it back, and Solomon did not remember, and he didn't tell me. And he had, as I said, already began the south end of Brampton. And I said, when you get to Brampton, I have to know. God made sure it came back to me, and the Lord put it in my hands. And I am so awestruck that God would put this in my hands. I feel like the least equipped, the least qualified person. You know, but God uses the weak things. I am. I mean, Solomon's seen my weaknesses. I am. But God uses us as we are, and he overcomes our weaknesses.